session number 27730, reel 12.
Mr. Bob Lunt, reel 12. Now, what happened when you came back to the British? You didn't go back on the ducks, you were back
on... No, we came back with our ducks, and then we... they started moving us up to using the line with the ducks, because most of the lorries have been taken by other companies. When we came back, we still had ducks. So they said that you'd have to use your ducks for the time being, and we eventually got to Belgium. We'd had Van Esken.
So you were using the ducks as lorries?
Yep. And it was a shame, really, but anyway. We got up to Belgium, and they said... we went into a town called Londerzeel. That was the last town I remember. That was in Belgium. That I drove a duck. And we were kind of billeted there. And then they took us up to a lorry park, a very large lorry park, where lorries had been unloading at Calais and bringing them up to Brussels.
So what were you re-equipped with?
I was re-equipped with a comma. Gone back to commas.
Comma. C-O-M-M.
E-R. And we went...
And what do you think of them for this job?
Well, as a lorry, they
could carry more than the duck, couldn't they? Or could they?
Yeah, you could probably load up to about 4 ton, where you couldn't put 4 ton on the duck because it'd sink. You could
what
only...
What about on land, though? I mean...
On land, you'd go up to about 3.5 ton.
So it was just only about a half ton more?
Oh, yes.
Now, so what do you remember of this photo? You're still doing your basic job, aren't you? Carrying...
Oh, yes, we're still carrying shells and ammo and... shells, ammo, food, petrol, any store, all kinds of stores. And sometimes we used to have to carry soldiers up. There was one time when we pulled into Brussels, and it was Battle of the Ardennes was on. The Americans had pushed through, and Patton had pushed them hard and hard and hard until the tanks run out of petrol, or their fuel. They'd run out of guns, and the Germans captured them. And that's when the Battle of the Ardennes was on.
This is December 1944.
December 1944.
And what now were we'd gone in. Troops for?
Well, we were going into. We come into Brussels and spayed the night by the. I can't think of the name of the station. Gare de Midi. Anyway, I think it's the Gare de Midi in Brussels. Anyway, we're parked alongside the railway yards, and they gave us all the night off except for the guards, those that were on guard. And during the evening, Red Caps were going round in their wagons and motorbikes. All drivers from the 101, please report back to your lines. We thought, oh God, what have we got on now? So all drivers finally got back to their lines, back onto their lorries, and they said, right, are you all loaded up with petrol, filled up? Yes, yes sir, yes, so everything's okay. Right, you're on the... Now, the British Army had routes, which was different. They had Ace Club... The Ace Club route, which went from Calais to Berlin, eventually Berlin. We had the Red Diamond route. We had the Black of Spades route. And the... Red Heart route, but we use mainly the Ace of Clubs route, and we were told to go to Calais to pick up the six airborne troops and bring them back to the Ardennes. They couldn't go in by plane because of the cloud formations. They couldn't be dropped because of the cloud formations, and also it was snowing. We went back to Calais, which seemed a blooming long way in the dark, but still we did it. We went alongside the docks. The they loaded us up with the troops, and I suppose there'd be a on the lorries there was a seat, a long trellis seat, and they were up on stands, and the airborne troops sat on all these seats, and all their equipment was put inside in the middle. And we had a sergeant up the front with us, and on our cab, we had a round ring which you could lift up, put back, and you can, at that time I did have a brain gun and a rifle, and you could go up through the opening with your brain gun, plonk it up, and if you were in problems. But having had a sergeant airborne in their cab with us, I thought, well, he's sure to be a better shot than me, so he could do it. So anyway, we went up to the Ardennes, went back to the Ardennes. We got there, we travelled all night, and we got up to the line just about morning time, and the snow was heavy, it's still snowing, and they opened the tower boards and the men got down, and there was no planes in the sky whatsoever. No Germans flying, no British or American flying, and they marched into battle. We turned round and brought our wagons out, and we never saw them again. We saw the guards, but then.
So that was a special mission.
That was a special mission.
You then attached to the Guards Division, I believe.
Yes.
The
Well, what happened was that we went up to, we became part of the Guards Division for transport, and we came up to the Rhine. Well, they were building a bridge. Jerry had knocked all the bridges down except one, which was in the American sector, and they happened to get onto that before they blew it up. But they blew all ours up. I think there was another one that was up near Arnhem, where the Rhine came back round, but I mean, we weren't bothered on that. We get Sergeant Major came down onto our lines. He said, well, they said, I've got some leave tickets here. What about you, Lun? Have you been on leave lately? Oh, I said, I haven't been on leave since we were at Emsworth. So I said, you wouldn't let me go there either. So he said, well, you can go. You can go off for 3 or 4 days. What about your mate, Owen? I said, what about Owen? He said, yeah, we're going. Where are we going? He said, oh, you're going into Brussels. I thought, well, that's all right. Anyway, we get to Brussels with our 3-4 day pass, and we were had to take so much food with us because we were going into private houses. So Owen goes to one house, I goes to another, and there was a man and wife there, They took me out to various places in Brussels for the night and concerts. Oh, they were having a jolly good time in Brussels. They didn't thought there was a war on. And taken around and about. We goes back to get our Liberty wagons. Well, they called them Liberty wagons. The Liberty wagons. And our Liberty wagon had gone. So I said to Owen, what are you going to do? He said, I don't know, what are you going to do? I said, well, we'll go and see the Red Caps, who was in charge of the Liberty wagons, and tell them what's happened and see what they say. So they said, oh, well, in that case, you'll have to wait, come down tomorrow morning. Oh, no, you can't come down tomorrow morning. You'll have to come down 2 days' time. I said, well, can you get a message through to our company to say where we are? Because we're due back. We're up the front line. So they said, oh. And I said, on top of that, we've got to have some more food for 2 days to give to our people that we're staying with. So they said, well, you can go around the stores and get your food, and we'll see that you it's reported back to your company. So we stay for another 2 days. Owen gets back before me. He gets a Liberty wagon that time, and I had to wait for another Liberty wagon to come in to take me back to where I had to be. And gets back to this camp by the river. Owen's not there, he's gone off with another lorry driver, with another driver up the front. And there was a Ford. My comma had been taken by Owen, and there was a Ford, Canadian Ford lorry. Now, you never saw anything like it in all your life. It was, the wheels were up about that high, then there was a gap, then you got the body. So you were about, the body was about 4 foot off the ground, or more. And who was sitting in that was a fellow named Driver Smith, Sam Smith. And I said, what are you doing in there? He said, I'm waiting for you. He said, this is your wagon, you're loaded with shells. I said, well, that's typical. If Lund's going to drive it, he'll drive shells. So I said, where are we? He said, well, you've got to go up to the front line with this lot. I said, you know where the front line is? He said, I haven't got a clue. He said, that's your instructions. And that's the sign we're following. Right, I said, okay, off we go. Are we loaded with petrol and what have you? Yes. So each road had a sign, a wooden sign with red and green across and your number. And you followed that. And you hope that nobody pinched it. Well, somebody did, didn't they? Anyway, they went off. I can't think of the name of the towns. We broke down. So he said, well, that's handy. Well, in the bottom of our seats was a lot of tobacco leaves, which, where Sam Smith had got them from, I just do not know. But anyway, underneath the seats was all these tobacco leaves. And I said, where the hell you get them from? So he said, oh, I found them down by that big warehouse down there. So anyway, who should be walking along? I've got my head under the bonnet and checked everything. Checked the petrol lines. We're all up for petrol. The jets were clean. That was okay. Checked the electricity. We weren't getting a spark. And I thought, oh well, we can follow this one back. And And he said, I said, it's something to do with the coil, Sam. Do you know anything about coils? No, he said, all I know that it comes from the plugs to the coil, through, from the petrol. I said, well, it's something to do with this coil. Anyway, who should be walking through the town, or this small town, was a tank driver. And he came across, he said, what's up, fellas? I said, we've broken down. I said, we've got the breakdown wagon somewhere behind us, but we want to get on before it gets dark. He said, let's have a look. I said, I've worked it back to the coil. So he took the top off the coil, and he said, oh, he said, you've got a problem here. Have you got any silver paper? I said, yeah, I think we've got some silver paper in the cab from our cigarettes. Oh, that's all right then. So he put a piece of silver paper in under the coil, screwed it back on. He said, give it a go. And it started. I said, oh, thanks. Anyway, in the meantime, Sam Smith, who had also worked in the markets, the same as I had previously, he was selling leaves of tobacco to the locals. So we give some to the tank driver, shut up shop, and got on our way. And I said to him, you're always out there looking for a buck, you are, Sam. Well, he said, why not? He said, why shouldn't we make a bit of money on this? The Germans would have done if they had kept it. So we got on our way. We come through a town called Enschede. It's the last Dutch town before you come into the German border. We came through Enschede, out across onto the German road, and Sam said, look, you've been driving all day. Do you want me to take over? I said, yeah, I could do with the rest. And I said, now, don't forget, the German roads along here are concave. Keep right on top. Don't swing down to your left or right. Stay on top. What did he do? He swings away down to his right. He runs over a mine. Well, I was asleep when he went, and the lorry went up in the air and came back down, but it had only blown our rear tyre off, which was an offside rear tyre. And what it had done, he'd gone on to the...
It's all right, they can't see. They can't see.
And it's showing you. What's that, concave? I think it's concave. The road was concave all the way along. And he'd gone down on the edge where the sand was. And they hadn't demined it. And fortunately, the blast went outwards and took my tyre and tube completely off. And the vehicle went down on an angle.
Still got the shells aboard.
Oh, yes. I'd say we had.
So you were lucky, really.
We were more than lucky. You've heard that more than. It was more than.
So what happened next?
Anyway, I said, what the hell are we going to do? We're out in no man's land. So I grabbed my rifle and he grabbed his and he said, look, there's a fire over there. I said, you come back, you don't start wandering over there, there might be some more mines over there, and you'll tread on one. I said, let's go along there. I said, I wonder what's on this hill. Well, when whoever it was on this hill, heard the explosion, and came down onto the road, and said, good Lord, what have you done? I said, it's what he's done, we've run over a mine. He He said, "Oh, you were lucky." He said, "If it had been inwards, you'd have been up with the angels." I said, "Well, he wouldn't go to the angels. I might, but he wouldn't." Anyway, he said, "I said, are you in touch with Enschede?" He said, "Yes, matter of fact, we are." I said, "What are you? What are you doing here?" He said, "We're a searchlight section. The guards, when they broke out, we had searchlights all along the front line, and we put them on and right across the German front line, and the guards charged, and they got over the. It was by the Dortmund Canal, and they charged over the canal and chased the Germans back. And they did it by having searchlights up and a long line. A marvellous piece of.
So what happened to you next, sir?
So the officer in charge said, "Well, you best stay here tonight. I've been in touch with the Remy at Enschede, but they can't get out to you till the morning. Lock your vehicle up and come stay with us," which we did. And the next morning, the breakdown wagon came from the Remy's. They lifted the rear end up, and they took us back to Enschede because they didn't know what size tyre they wanted. They didn't know how much damage was done underneath. They wanted us back to check it out.
And you were dive bombed on the way back, were you?
No, we were dive bombed that next night.
Oh, right, sorry.
What has happened, by the side where the Remy's were, we were in the marshalling yards in Enschede, and the other side of the marshalling yards was the airport. They were only using the airport for like planes work, like Hurricanes, Spitfires and things like that, Beaufonts. And they said, "Well, it's no good letting you out again now, it's too late. You'll have to go off in the next day." So I said, "Is there any chance getting in touch with the 101 company? They're up the front somewhere." They said, "No, we wouldn't know. The tank division's up there. Field Marshal, well, he wasn't a Field Marshal then. General Horrocks is up there with his caravan." But he said, we don't know what's beyond that. I said, "Well, can't you get a message through to somebody to say that we're still alive and we'll get there as soon as we can?" So they said, "Well, stay the night here and then we'll see what happens in the morning." So we gets down in the lorry with our shells. I don't know if Sam was cuddling one or not, I don't know, but anyway, in the middle of the night we heard, don't know if they caught that, the moaning of a plane coming over, and it went round and it started moaning again, and I think they got fooled, it was a plane that was in trouble, and they put the landing lights on, and it's what the Germans wanted. They put the landing lights on, and there were two Stukas, dive bombers. Well, what did we do? We jumped out of the wagon and we crawled underneath the wagon out of the way, and we got a load of shells on board. So I think that we were about the two stupidest soldiers in Britain, in Germany. And anyway, we next morning we all had a laugh over it, and no damage done to the railway or the Remy, and we said our goodbyes, and off we went. Well, it was still quite a long journey, and we got up to, went past the searchlight people and said, waved to them and went over the first Bailey Bridge we'd been over, over at Dorthend Canal, and that went into Lingen, a place called Lingen, L-I-N-G-E-N, Lingen. That was the first German town we came to, and it was about, oh, I don't know, 4:30, going on for 5. And there was a red cap in the middle of the road, and he put his hand up. We stopped, and he came to the cab, and he said, "Where do you think you're off to?" I said, "Well, we're trying to find our company. We've been missing somewhere up here, the 101 company." And they said, "Well, I'm sorry, you can't go out tonight. This road is dangerous. It's known as the bomb road. And what they do, they put, well, they keep killing our DRs, but they put a piece of wire across the road between two trees and knock them off and kill them." He said, "Well, not, they don't know what we're doing to lorries, so, but you can stay in this camp here." I said, "Well, whose camp is it?" He said, "Well, you're with Class now. You're with General Horrocks." I said, "Oh my God, he's the boss." I said, "We belong to the Guards Division." Anyway, we drove into his camp, and we did meet him actually. He had a caravan the same as Monty, and I think Monty got the idea from him that. Said, "Get your food cans and your mess tins and go and out, get some food." And we went and got some food. They were killing a pig at the time. I don't know where they got it from, but don't ask me. And they were going to have pork the next night. Anyway. We moved off the next morning, said cheerio to the fellas that we met, and moved on, said we'd be going down to the front line with two of your tanks. And we followed our signs on the side of the road, and we eventually come up to some tanks. And said to these tanks, "Are you of the 27th Brigade?" They said, "Yes." I said, "What's further on?" He said, "Germans." I said, "That's jolly." I said, "What about an RASC company, 101? "No," he said, "there's no RASC company up here." He said, "You're probably taking the wrong road." I said, "Well, the sign definitely points down this way." "Oh," he said, "they've been doing that all the time. They've been turning the signs round." I said, "Well, I'll come off it." I said, "They wouldn't do that."
"Who had?"
"The Germans. The German population had been coming out and turning the signs round." And so he said, "Well, if you don't believe me, go on round the corner, see what's round there." I said, "Well, why aren't you going round there?" He said, "No, we've got to stay here, and then when we get the news that there are Germans there, we'll start shunning them again." So I said to Sam, I said, "I think they're pulling our plonk. Let's clear off round the corner, see what's there." We get round the corner, and